A lot of you have done some public speaking, and all of you who have done public speaking know the nerves that go with it, being nervous. The rest of you that have not experienced public speaking, you have probably not experienced public speaking because of those nerves. So often people that are in public speaking positions, they understand what it is to get their words tripped up. Last Sunday night, I said something while I was preaching that was wrong. It was a lie. Did you ever hear a preacher say, "I want to be honest with you," and you think, "Well, shouldn't he be always honest with me?" I wouldn't have even known it, except Janae had videoed those object lessons in two different videos, and I was splicing them, bringing them, connecting them together into one thing. And the very beginning of the second one is where the inaccuracy was. I think that what I was trying to say was that I used to work in public employment, and I said I used to work in the public sector. Well, that changes it. Public sector is government work. And the closest I came to government work is when you take your own job into work and work on it. And the slang was always, "That's government work." So that's the closest I think I came to government work. And unless you count the government contracts that we had. But I didn't work in the public sector. I worked in the private sector. I worked in public employment. So if you caught that and you wondered, what in the world is he talking about? No, slip of the tongue. I think I was trying to say public employment, but somehow I said public sector. So scratch that out of your memory if it's still there. Chances are it's gone, right? Anybody know what I preached on last Sunday? Good. That's the point of having object lessons. It sticks in your mind. As long as you know what the spilling of the coffee was all about. All right. Jeremiah chapter 15. There's a verse that I want to launch from this evening. I came to church with a headache. Quite often, once the service begins, the headache diminishes, and tonight it has not. So unless the Lord gives me a touch as we begin here, I'm probably not going to hold you very long, but hopefully long enough to give you a little bit of the point of this message tonight. Finding God's Word. Jeremiah writes in the 16th verse of the 15th chapter, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Thy words were found, and I did eat them. If we were to just take the first phrase, "thy words were found," it doesn't give us too much understanding of what he's saying. It's simply that he found something in the way of God's word. When you find something, you were either looking for it at the moment, or you were looking for it at a previous time and couldn't find it, and suddenly there it was, and so you say, "Oh, I finally found this." Knowing right where it was because you put it there specifically so that you could remember where it was, only to need it and not then be able to find it until after the need was over. Maybe even went and purchased it again. Done that before. But when we bring that second phrase in, it gives us an additional facet to understand what Jeremiah might be trying to say. Because that second phrase, "I did eat them," would indicate that this thing that was found was something that was searched for, something that was desired, something that was hungered for. There was a longing. There was a longing within. Now understand, when he said, "I did eat them," he's not necessarily saying that he ripped them out of the Bible page by page and spread some mayonnaise and put some cheese on it and put it between two slices of bread and ate it like a sandwich. And that's not at all what he's talking about. But he is talking, going back to Edward's message a couple of Wednesdays ago, about meditation. That is what he's speaking about. There is a digestion process in what he is saying here. There was something that was desired, something that was sought after, something that was found that individual, they needed. For searching for something, it probably indicates to somebody else that there is some value in that item that is being sought for. I want to leave the passage here in Jeremiah and quickly jump over to 2 Kings. I'm going to have to hurry up here. 2 Kings gives us a story that really, it's startling in some ways. Second Kings chapter 22, verse number 8, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law." I think that's why James didn't lead to singing this morning. "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord," and Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house that have and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Now, without going into the rest of it there, reading it word for word, there's something that I want to draw out as quickly as I can. That when the word of God was found, it brought conviction. I think that's lost today. Let me try to quickly explain. There's too many times that we want God's word to be an encouragement to us, and we ignore the correction to us. But it would indicate here, and I believe that it would indicate through the Bible in many different places, that God's word is more, far more than just an item to encourage. It's an item to correct. And until we value God's word to give us correction, we will never fully be engaged in what God wants us to be engaged in. In other words, if we go back here to Jeremiah chapter 15, we will never have that experience where Jeremiah says, "I have found it and I have eaten it, and it has become a joy and a rejoicing of mine heart." In other words, correction and God's word would mean that it will change us. It will give us a conviction in our lives. Now, some people may argue with that and say, well, we don't really need to have conviction. The fact of the matter is, and God's word indicates it going all the way back into Genesis, the early part of Genesis, where God created Adam and Eve, sin came into the world, they established coverings for themselves, but because of their human nature and the sin that had been brought into their lives, they didn't have the same standard that God had. And from that time forward, man's standards have always differed from God's standards. Always. So what I'm trying to say when I say that, I'm saying that you and I cannot depend on our feelings. We cannot depend on our thoughts. We must find the Word of God and eat the Word of God, devour it, meditate, as Edward so clearly put it a couple of weeks ago, several weeks ago now. It's a great mistake, somebody said, to think that careless reading of the Bible can be a blessing to a man. It takes more than just a casual, this person said careless, let me say casual reading of God's Word. It's going to be something that we will consider to have found because we have desired it, we have sought after it, we have hungered for it, and then allow it to go to the very depths of our being, to change and to work. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. You look there in the passage in 2 Kings chapter 22, and you'll see that they began to inquire of the Lord. You can understand as you read the entirety of that context that there was a previous king or two that had laid aside God's word. He had given them direction to ignore God's word. And so now when they come to the place where they find God's word, it begins to correct them and it begins to convict them, and they realize that they are standing in a place of deserving God's wrath. The king rents his clothes. He realizes that he's in a bad spot when it comes to his relationship with God. It began to change them. Once again, I know that I'm speaking to the choir tonight. But as much as I'm speaking to the choir, as much as I'm speaking to good people, as much as I'm speaking to godly people, we live in an age, we live in an era, we live in a time that the world would do its best to infiltrate our thinking. And unless we are always constantly coming back to filter everything through the lens of God's word, then we are in danger of losing that word. But we may not take it out of our house. It might still be laying there on the end table or the coffee table or standing up on the bookshelf, but it's losing its place to where it saturates us inwardly, internally. I did eat them. You see, that gives a different facet to just finding. If it doesn't change us, if we don't see this direction that is found in 2 Kings happening to a person's life when they find God's word, hungering to be in a right relationship with him and changing so that that relationship is clear, then they're not really meditating. Finding God's word. Say, well, I haven't lost it. Make sure that it stays found. Keeping it first and foremost. Let's stand together. Lord, bless you this week. Give you encouragement and strength. Even as you eat His Word, devour His Word. Praise God. Praise God. Alan, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer?